Thank you, Gordon. Good evening. Good evening. Thank you. I'm glad that you have come tonight. I know we have many who are live streaming right now, and I want to welcome you as well and tell you that I have a message tonight that I've got 33 slides, but most of them, or a good portion, were pictures. And once we finish kind of this first portion and a good amount of the pictures, the length of the service from there is kind of going to depend on you guys. I appreciated what was on Jared's heart in Sunday school this morning, and I could see that that it caused him some nerves to share those things, and for because it was something that he felt strongly about. And for those of you who weren't in our Sunday school this morning, Jared gave quite a few thoughts, and then he gave us a responsibility to share. He said, "Why are you here? And you know, what brought you here? What are the reasons?" And all of that. And then he followed it up by saying, "I'm asking because I don't know. I don't know what it is that brings you here. You know, I don't know these stories." And so we took up the rest of the time sharing some of those things. And at the end, you know, Jared said, and I agreed with him, "You know, thank you for sharing that, because I didn't know that about you. I didn't know why you come." You know, sometimes we come here and we make our own assumptions about each other, don't we? We always do this. We're the worst at that, right? We assume things of people. You know, the boys in the front row, they just come so they can take a nap while I'm speaking. My assumption, right? Yeah. Colin's like, "I'm getting ready." All right. But it's good that we talk about these things. And so you see my title here. It's not Spanish. It's not 11, I'll say. I thought that after I did it, I was like, "Oh, I'm going to trick Colin up front." Once. That word once, you know, it's talking about something, you know, it's several things, you know, something happened one time. Or we start stories sometimes, you know, once upon a time, looking back. And my subtitle here is "Don't Forget to Remember." This week, I've been thinking about, this last week, about my rememberer. I'm 38 years old, and I find that my rememberer is not as good as it used to be. I'm not forgetting everything, but, you know, I have found that I have had to go back and try to remember things. To remember joys, to remember pains, all of those things, because if I forget to remember, then I forget. And I'm thinking of these things, and I'm going to go through all of this because we're coming into this stereotypical time of year. We're going to come on Thursday, however it's going to look with the weirdness of our nation and society and COVID and all, however it's going to, we're going to come, however you do it, on Thursday to a day that's dedicated to Thanksgiving. And giving thanks, and such an enormous part of giving thanks is remembering. What we have to give thanks for. Who did their homework? Thank you. If you didn't do your homework, I asked you to read Lamentations 3, 18 through 25. Pretty familiar verses. So here we read. It says, "I said, my strength and my hope are perished, has perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. You know, I wonder, when these words were put to paper, if it was even in the mind of Jeremiah. The thousands of years, people were going to grab a hold of this scripture, and it was going to remind them of the goodness of God through difficult times, of the goodness of God through joyous times. And remember that God is looking upon us and he gives us blessings day by day. But I do think that one of the problems that we run into as people is that oftentimes we begin to speak of and we almost neglect to speak of God in the depth and the extent of how He works with us. We say God is good. And it's true. So we thank God for this blessing, and it doesn't necessarily show the depth or the extent of how He works with us. It's important, I think, that we talk oftentimes in specifics of the things that the Lord has done for us. And so that's where I'm going to go tonight. But before I do that, we'll do something kind of fun at first. So I'm looking in this room, and there's probably only maybe one person who I would think off the top of my head has played Kim's Game. Have you played Kim's Game, Erica? All right. Kim's Game. I played this. You played it? In what?
In training.
Yeah. FBI Sniper School is where I played Kim's Game. So, Rudyard Kipling wrote a novel, Kim. I'm not well read. I didn't read it. Had no clue what it was. I was in a class and in a sniper school run by the FBI, and this is something that they do, is every day you play Kim's Game. And what they do is, we're even going to play it right now, is they bring out a series of seemingly random items or things, and they ask you to find a way to put it to memory. And so I just started grabbing stuff around church here. And so here's what I want you to do. Front row, so I can keep you guys in on this. This is your job for the next 5 minutes. I want you to remember these things that I'm setting down. Okay? So I've got a fly swatter. Tootsie roll. This is came from a bowl, says for reunion, so I'll have to take that back. A master lock. Got a bendy straw. Red bendy straw. I got a Harbor Freight. Oh no, this is Home Depot. Tape measure. Sweet and low. That's good. A Band-Aid. Oh, it's a... what's the girl in Toy Story? The girl cowgirl. Jesse. It's a Jesse Band-Aid. Matchbook. Got a paintbrush. And I got some fingernail clippers. So this is what we would do. We would start every day, and you would walk out, and there would be a table. It was typically 20 things. And they'd say, you have 5 minutes. I want you to look at all these items, and you need to commit them to memory. And after 20 minutes, we're going to go in the classroom, and we want you to tell us everything that was on that table. And so you would sit here and you would stare at it. You boys still looking? I realize some of the stuff's kind of moved. If you can't see it, you can scoot closer. It's all right. Logan wants to see it, but he doesn't want to move. He's like, oh man, it's really uncomfortable. Fly swatter, lock, Tootsie Roll, Band-Aid, matches, straw, paintbrush, tape measure, sweet and low, fingernail clippers. Fly swatter, lock, Tootsie Roll, Band-Aid, matchstick, bendy straw, paintbrush, tape measure, sweet and low, fingernail clippers. How does one possibly begin to put a bunch of random things to memory like this? Anyone? Deb? Make it into a song? I remember your mother singing songs. In fact, I saw pictures of your mother today and I thought of her. Do what? Sure. Something, right? In this particular story, this was written at the time, is that there was, I don't remember, Gordon will probably be able to tell because he's a history buff, but the British were in this kind of constant wars in India around that time. And in this book, the British soldiers were teaching this young child how to be a spy. They were teaching him how to remember significant things. And in order to remember it, he had to make a story. And you remember it based on a story or a song, something like that. Some sort of story that brings various random things together. So in other words, so maybe what you would come up is you would say, all right, well, Colin came here from Honduras. Honduras has a lot of mosquitoes, which is why he brought a fly swatter. So Colin, with his fly swatter, shows up, and if there's one thing we all know, is that he has a sweet tooth. So Colin had his fly swatter, and he knew he had a Tootsie Roll. It was in his bag, but there was a problem. His bag was locked. So Colin, with his fly swatter, had a sweet tooth, wanted his Tootsie Roll. It was in his bag. His bag was locked. But he thought to himself, aha, I've got matches. Now, I don't know how Colin, with his fly swatter and Tootsie Roll, trying to get in his locked bag, thought that matches was going to get him in. But I know that he tried it, because afterwards he needed a Band-Aid. So Colin, with his fly swatter and Tootsie Roll, trying to get into his locked bag, trying to light the lock on fire, needed a Band-Aid. Well, here's the other thing, is that the burn was still hurting, and so he realized, aha, I've got this bendy straw, I could use it to direct the air to cool the burn on my finger. Right? Well, where would I go from there? We'll stop there. If it wasn't that I'm in a sermon here, I would keep going. I'll figure it out. But, so now, closing my eyes. So Colin had a fly swatter because he comes from Honduras. He's got a sweet tooth, which is why he loves Tootsie Rolls. He had a Tootsie Roll in his bag, but the problem was he had a master lock on his bag because he had to go through customs. He didn't want anybody to get it. Couldn't figure out where his key was, and so he thought, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get some matches out, and I'm going to use it to try to burn off the lock or to burn through the material of the bag. But the problem was it's synthetic, and so it lit up so fast it burned him, and he needed to put a Band-Aid on it. But the pain was still so severe that he used a straw to try to blow it on the burn on his finger. Then he realized that there were ashes all over the place, and so he picked up his little paintbrush to sweep off all of the ashes. Now, then the people at customs came up and said, you're making a mess, a big mess. He said, how big is my mess? They said, it's so big, I need to use a tape to figure out how big that mess is. So he gave them a tape measure. And as they were measuring it, he sat down with his coffee, adding a little sweet and low into it. As he was sipping it, he began clipping his fingernails. And that's everything that I have there. Right? This is how, you know, this is important in not just goofing around and playing games. Is anybody impressed that I got all that? Right? It'd make it a story. Right? And we do this, right? We have a room here full of a bunch of people that all of us are completely different. We might be intertwined through marriage and friendships and all that, where all of us are different. And we have different experiences in life, different successes and failures. Gordon's life has been different than mine. But we all have had experiences, and we have experiences with God. And because we believe in God, and one of these things that we do that is so important, and I love that Jared said, you know what, we're going to deviate from the norm this morning, and we're going to tell testimonies. We're going to talk about what God has done. Because saying God is good is not enough. We have to remind, and we have to tell people. So when you go through times in your life, it was like me, and we'll get to the scripture, but you know, when life was so heavy on me, there was no hope. I was in the darkest place. But I remembered things that were shared in this room by you guys. Situations totally different, but it drew me. It helped me. It gave me courage and strength and all of those things. You know, I want us to not forget to remember. And this week, as we're going into Thanksgiving and then we're going to go into reunion, you know, let's not forget to remember. There he is. I didn't know if my PowerPoint was on tonight because Mark wasn't here to tell me. He's made it. So that's Kim's game. It's fun to play. Put it to memory. Something goofy, now you can say you've seen that in church. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Came to pass that when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called 12 men, whom he had of the children of Israel, out of a tribe, every tribe a man. Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time coming, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You know, the Lord, he commanded Joshua, says, you know, if we don't do something to encourage these people to remember, you, these stones, you who were there when God, you know, stopped the water of the Jordan so you could walk across, if I don't give you something and I don't encourage you to don't forget to remember, then it'll become lost. You know, I thought about this. You know, last month on the 29th would have been my dad's birthday. Not a perfect man, not by any means, but certainly precious to me. And I remember when we got the headstone for where we buried him up at the ranch. And as I set it down, I was touched by this particular scripture that whenever I go up to the ranch and I walk with my children every time and we go over and we look where we buried my father and they see this stone, it's an opportunity for me to tell of the blessings of God. I don't want to forget to remember the blessings of God. And I have to be intentional with it. I tell my kids all the time that I love them. And I do it a lot. Where's Grace? Gracie, girl, do I tell you I love you a lot? And why do I tell you that I love you so much? Remember what I say? Do you remember Zahner? You guys are too embarrassed. So you never forget. We'll forget. That if you're 80 years old and I've been gone for 40 of those years, you can always look back and say, my dad loved me. You know, we have to be intentional on these things. We have to talk about the things that God has done. Which is why, Jared, I love what you talked about this morning. And led right into this sermon. And what I hope that we do as we go through this week and as we consider things that we're thankful for. So, let's look at some pictures. And we're going to go here. Do you remember? Start with the scripture here, Deuteronomy 32 and 7. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. I asked my mom for her hard drive with all the pictures that she's got, badillions of pictures. And all I wanted to look at, because we're here in the Phoenix Local, is I just wanted to look at some, go back and remember some things about the Phoenix Local. Because I'm thankful for this group of people, and I'm thankful for this building. I'm thankful for opportunities that I've had here. I'm thankful for faces that I was able to look at today. You know, today as I was going through it, I saw a lot of faces of people who have passed, who I loved dearly, who I missed. It was good. Someday, Mom, we ought to just plug that thing in and just go picture by picture. It'd take forever. But it was good to remember. And to think of names and faces and stories and testimonies, all those things that have formed who we are, the Church of Christ, the Phoenix Local, Adam Yates, all of these things. We remember these things. And ultimately, we should remember that it was God who moved and acted in our life. Great is His faithfulness. Who remembers that? Zane does not remember that. Yeah, this was 19. Now, the file said in the 75. And this is, kids, this is the front of the church. It doesn't look a whole lot different except for all the dirt there. Imagine who would be doing donuts out there right now, huh? Right? Wasn't done yet. Doesn't look like there's a roof on it or there's not shingles on it yet. Importantly, here in Phoenix, there's not any sort of cooling system, which when they put it on there was evaporative coolers. I don't know how big these pictures are. I was trying to fit them. Okay. So kids, that's looking out from where the cover is right now. Look in that direction. And you can see all the way to a mountain, but you can't see there anymore. Because if you look that way, you're going to see Haley's house. And were you to look a little bit farther there, if you could see, you would see Jared and Katie's house. Becca and my old house next to it, past that power line that you see. I don't know whose dog that is. Dog's probably not around anymore. The days of cutoff shorts and super cool socks. Brother Don McIndoo in the foreground there. And they're lifting up the light pole for the basketball court. If you look behind the Jeep that Nathan's all excited about, you can see the windows and the door that leads into our kitchen. Where Stephen and Amy's house is now, there's a bunch of pallets and there's a shed there. So it's quite a feat, wasn't it, those of you who were around then, to get this building built? What are your testimonies of that? Andy and I were talking about this the other day, and I agree with him that, you know, one of the things that we're suffering from in the Phoenix local is what, Andy, the third generation? What's the name of it? Yeah, no sweat equity in it. So it's important we remember the efforts that it took for us to be able to be here. I mean, that guy gave the legs off his pants right there so he could be here. Who is that? Oh, okay. And that's Brian behind him. Anybody remember when the front of the church looked like that? No. A couple of us remember when we started with shovels trying to dig out that queen palm, and then I said, this is for the birds. And I called Jim. Jim was pastor, and I said, can we rent a tractor? And our sign right there. Dwayne, you remember that day? That was a long time ago. Yeah, that was 75. Here we are building the pews that you're sitting on. I wasn't there. And staining them. And if you're looking off there, kids and everybody, if you're looking off, it's looking that direction, right? You can see the little short pony wall that we have to enter into the parking lot there. Right, and the mountain way off behind there that's there on like 16th Street and south of Greenway. Who's laying on the ground over here? Anyone? Dwayne. Someone thought, had to be Dwayne. Had to be Dwayne. Beginning of our pews. Some faces we remember. Grandma, Bill. Marvin Ely there in the top. And you know this was the 70s because we decided on orange for the pews, right? Someone's going to say, I still like that color. Did you guys upholster those yourself or did you have paid to have them done? Did it yourself. And nobody said, pick a different color?
That was the color, though.
Yeah, it went really well with the paneling. We'll see later.
Bringing that back next time.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Says the guy who got us blue. We'll get there. Don't worry. I put this one up there. Yeah, not because of all the people, although I do love CJ's happy face. There, anybody see CJ there, grumpy as can be? But because there we decided orange was out, and I remember this is my memory of the pews was red with white dots. Right? Red with white dots. This was the best picture I could find of it. Now everybody's looking at people, and my intention wasn't to pull out people, and I can't even tell you what year this was. I think it was 07, probably. No. Okay. I didn't intend on writing it down. My point, it was more of the pews. Anybody remember that day? See that our new carpet wasn't in yet. We had just mudded the wall in the back and built a little audio cubby there. You see where we patched where there was a door. You can see it back there in the audio cubby. I was cutting out the vent fan that was there in the side and got shocked really bad on that one. And that was after Jared convinced us to go with blue for the pews. So we see there's been a progression over the years of our pews, where we've come, right? And just something I want to think of is, you know, all these changes and all that, and yet there was something that was continuous here. Now, I put this next one up here, not for the people, but for the picture of the front door. But I do love Bob and Aunt Evelina there. Bob Hedrick, when he still had hair. Aunt Evelina. But the doors, those wood doors. You know, now we've got the better, nicer, louder metal doors. I took this one not because of Daniel sitting up there, but because of our serving table, right? We remember when the serving table was out of that wood? That back wall, you see there was a deep freeze there. Now we've got some, we've got two drinking fountains and some stuff there. And that bottom corner is when we redid the floors. In the kitchen, that was 2014. In that upper corner, that's resetting the cabinets, the countertop and everything. Anybody remember that playground? My wife does, Joel does. Anybody remember those two trees? I do remember those two trees. Only one is still here. My kids don't know, and probably these young guys up here don't know, that right where this covered area is that we eat, right at the end of it, there was a tree. I thought it was a better climbing tree. Erica did too. Yeah, that was like the preferred climbing tree. And when it got taken out, I was very upset about it. It's the beginning of our playgrounds, right? So I did. I'll just click to the next one. There we are. None of our kids now remember this playground, probably, because we have a new one. But the old playground that I grew up on, Easton, are you seeing Mom there? See that face, that sly smile? She was looking at me. She's like, ooh. She was. Rebecca Owen on the far left, and then Holly, Alicia on the bottom, Michelle in the black dress, Rebecca, and who's on top? Is that Erica? She's making a funny face. All right. That jungle gym was super cool. The cool thing about it, you see in the bottom corner, is it had a bridge with chains, and you could jump on it, and you could get going. It was almost like a trampoline.
One of the kids got stuck between those.
Yes. Yeah. Chad got stuck between there, yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of pictures of that. But no. Yeah, that little guy's Easton. He was digging out the footings with Uncle Andrew. And then we got that same kind of modified playground, but different, right? Before now, we got an entirely different one. We remember some of those things. It's good to remember. We think about all those years. Think about kids who played on all those things. And some of them have gone. Some of them are still here. Some of them, we have our kids playing out here now. Some have gone elsewhere to other locals and strengthened them and been a blessing. But it's important that we remember back. And we think about the fact that, you know, for all those years, we had all these kids. And we still do. You know, blessings that they are, that God has been active and working in our life and given us opportunities to teach, bring up a next generation and next generation. Now, this next picture, I did it just so we could look at the beautiful wood paneling up front. But this is all of us in kids' choir. Oh, I don't remember what year this was. I didn't write down the years. I know someone's going to think about it, but the beautiful wood paneling there. That wood paneling was there when we got married. It's awesome. So we got my mom there yelling at me, putting her hand over my sister. I don't know who's being covered by the microphone on the bottom. Jennifer's, is that Pamela? It looks just like her. Jennifer next to her, Tony McIndoe. Eric up in the top row, handsome guy myself, Holly, Elizabeth Warfield, Tim, and my cousin Alice. It was like that for a long time, and then we decided that it was out. I remember that business meeting that we decided that we were going to vote to take off that paneling. It was slightly contentious. I've avoided any pictures of us putting up the fence. All right. Memories. Memories. I love. I was in favor at the time. And so was all of the ministry until their wives started questioning them in a business meeting. And then they're like, well, we talked about this? I don't know. But that was Adam and Gordon's idea. Yeah. I've never seen backtracking so fast. That was ridiculous. And I was a new minister, too. I was like, listen. Gordon took me on that. It wasn't my idea. It was his. Right, we redid. Remember this work party? Why are we vacuuming the walls? Do you remember that? Because we got rid of the yellow tinted windows in there and we put in these glass blocks and did all that. If anybody remembers, this place was so thick with dust, you could rub your finger on the wall and it was just dust. So we were vacuuming the walls and everything, right? So most of the kids here don't know or don't remember. My kids don't remember that back through here, there was a hallway where the door is into the ladies' bathroom, and it went all the way back to the back classroom. And off of that, there was a drinking fountain. You can see a little corner of the drinking fountain in that picture on the left. And we made a decision that we were going to do some changes. I put in a couple 22-hour days here. Trying to get the bathrooms up and going once we got started. As I was demolishing the wall of the men's bathroom, it's adjacent to the hallway, and I ripped off the drywall in there on one of the studs, I found a note written by one of our brothers who is no longer part of the church, but he said all of these mistakes were made by, I think it was John Jones. Written on a stud right there. All these mistakes made by. Kind of interesting. I was going crazy with a sawzall, cutting stuff up. I got shocked there too. It got me. Yeah. And there we are putting back the piano, right? Here's a picture looking down the hall of Gordon. He was still pastor at the time. This was also contentious. We were in it together though, Gordon. We had fun. But there we are building out the bathrooms into what we see now. You know, we're going to move on now. I just wanted to look at some pictures and stuff. And I had a lot of fun looking at pictures today and thinking back and remembering and looking at changes in the building and changes in the people and people who have come and people who have gone. But you know, it was good to remember and to think back of all of these things. And I put all these things, all these changes of our building and all that, not because I want to talk about change or anything like that. It's just I'm thinking back that even though things we were changing, we were modifying, we were beautifying, we were bringing it up to, I can't say code because we're not up to code, but you know, we're doing, there was a consistency here. God's people coming together and encouraging and strengthening one another. And for me, it was important in becoming a new creature. Ideally, from this point on, and I didn't realize it would go this far, this long, we only got 15 minutes left, but ideally at this part, this is when at minimum I want you guys to be thinking about how you share this. And if you feel so courageous in a few concise sentences, to talk about this quickly, how you became a new creature. I talked about this morning. I just felt like I really wanted to say it because Jared asked this question and he said, why do you come here? Why are you here? And I explained it like this, that, you know, I feel this. I realize you talk about, if I were to tell a lot of people, you know, why I love God and why church is a priority, all of those things, my reasoning behind it, I'm sure some people would say, that's not good enough. But my reasoning is, and this is how I feel to my entire soul, is I feel this tremendous sense of loyalty to the Lord. And this is a, maybe in some ways, a fault of mine. As I shared this morning, you know, I have a tremendous, still, even now, sense of loyalty to this to work for. It's irrational. But they gave me good years, for the most part. Felt that way, like I said this morning, about my old dog. You know, I probably let him live 3 years longer than he should have. Because not just, it was more than love. It was more than I loved him. It was that I felt loyal to him for what he had been to me in my life. And I wanted to continue to give him something while he was able. And so I think about this, and I think about why I'm here. When I became a new creature. So Alma 17, 12 through 19, I'm not going to read all this. Hopefully we remember this, that Alma, he had been going about trying to destroy the church, and all of a sudden an angel stands in front of him and tells him, if you want to destroy yourself, that's fine, but you leave the church alone. And he ended up in this place where the only thing I can say is he was in a coma. And he was there, and he was without God and completely hopeless. And as he was there in this hopelessness, overwhelming hopelessness, in his mind, it was this light, it was this understanding, it just came. He remembered those things that he had heard and that he experienced and that he had seen. And he remembered Jesus Christ and his Father talking about it. And he grabbed a hold of it with his whole heart, cried out to him, and it changed his entire life. This is my story. When I became a new creature, and I didn't become a new creature in Christ when I was baptized. This happened years afterwards. I was baptized, and some of the worst things I've ever done in my life I did afterwards. I just feel guilty to this day. But I came to this place where I had nothing. It was the deepest depth of despair. I had nothing. I was in a job I hated. I was as far as I could go. There was no up. I was working terrible hours, and I had no social life, and I was alone, and I was miserable, and I was lonely, and I made bad decisions in relationships, and I was totally underwater in money, and I just, you know, I was feeling like a loser. I'm living in my grandparents' basement, you know, and just finally got to the place where I just cried out to the Lord, I've got nothing else but to remember what you've done for everybody else who talked to me about it throughout my life. And I grabbed a hold of those testimonies and those things, cried out to the Lord. And my life changed. I changed. And my life changed. And I became a new creature. And it's important that we talk about this. And as I go into this Thanksgiving day, and as I'm going to think about it before I hopefully gorge myself on turkey, I'm going to remember what it felt like. And I'm going to remember the Lord calling out to me. And I'm going to remember to talk about it, to tell my children about it, to all these things. Because it's important that we don't forget. Has anybody had this experience? Anybody want to say in 3 or 4 short sentences what it is, what it was? You don't have to. You could be here all night. You know, I hope that this week we think about this. When you became a new creature, when the Lord called out to you and He changed your life, what did you do? What was it like? How would you tell my sons about it? What if they were struggling? How would you tell them? Like this man Alma was telling his sons, this is where I was. This is what God did. When you think this week about these times that you may have been in when you were lost, I like this scripture. And you're going to say, that doesn't make any sense, Adam. 2 Nephi 12:56. Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men, and I remember they which are upon the isles of the sea, that I rule in heavens above and in the earth beneath. Where does your silly mind go? You know, that God remembers those who seem insignificant or are lost. And sometimes we find it easy to write off those who have made bad decisions, who have heaped upon themselves consequences that they deserved, people who have made decisions and have wandered away. It's easy to write them off. But you know, I like this scripture because it helps me to remember that. You know, God remembers even those who are upon the isles of the sea. Something that in the vastness of the Pacific Ocean, in some little spit of land out there where there's a couple souls there who are just eking out a living, they are remembered by God. But they're not insignificant to Him. And I had this experience numerous times in my life. But I do remember. And it's so much more beautiful now because my life is good. Not that it wasn't good before, but you know, I've got this world that's been opened to me because God has blessed me. But I remember when I had left the police department and I was in this deep despair and just feeling like there was, what do I do, Lord? Feeling a lot of regret, things I should have done different in the entirety of 12 years of my life there, and people I had opportunity to influence on and on. I just felt terrible. Guilty for things, you know. You begin to look at your life and realize all these reasons why God shouldn't look upon you. And I remember I'd fasted for 2 or 3 days, and I'd gone out, and I said, I'm just going to be alone. And I went and I sat out next to a stream out north of the valley there in a canyon. And I just sat there in the quiet, feeling insignificant. And the Lord spoke to me. And I will tell you what He said. It's for me. But it helped me to remember that the Lord saw me where I was. And I don't want to forget to remember that. So if you've had that opportunity, if you've been there in your life, I hope that as you look this week, as you consider Thanksgiving, as you consider people around you, troubles, trials, we talk about these things. Because to say God is good because He blessed me is an oversimplification of what He did on that day for me when I was lost, when I was feeling insignificant. It's an oversimplification. God's more than good. He told me what I needed. Because He remembers those who are upon the isle of the sea. I want us to remember a time when God's Word became real to you. How many of you have a testimony of that, have a memory of that, when God's Word became real to you? This became real to me at that time when my life began to change. And there's a scripture, I love it. My favorite scripture. You ask me what it is, I'll tell you. It's 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourself, therefore, at the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all care upon Him, for He careth for you. Came to these times in my life
where I truly felt like that was, that scripture was a link between me and God. Those words that I'm sure when Peter wrote them in that letter and sent it out to the church, he never thought of Adam Yates. But what it did for me, and these times when I've held so strongly to that, that I'll cast all of my cares on Him, and He knows how to lift me up. And I don't want to forget that. I give thanks for it. You know, Mosiah 1, 9 through 11, Mosiah is telling his, King Benjamin was telling his sons, I would that you should remember that these sayings are true. And these records are true. You know, do we talk about that? I think about this as a father. I'm probably missing this with my children. That I don't tell them enough, you know, why do I take the time to open these books? Or sometimes to read it on my phone. You know, why do I do it? Because what is written there is true. And I know it because I've put it to use in my life. Because I've tried the advice. I've held to the words of comfort. I've heeded the correction. Behold also the plates of Nephi, which contain the records, the sayings of our fathers from the time they left Jerusalem until now. They are true. We know of a surety because they are before our eyes. And now, my sons, I would that you should remember to search them diligently that you may profit thereby. I want us to think about that. Some of these things, you know, that as we go through this week, through this time when, you know, why do we have a Thanksgiving? For the same reason that God said, stack up a bunch of rocks here. Because if there's not a cause for you to remember, we're bound to forget. So I want us to remember what the Lord's done and to talk about it. I like this quote here by Charles Spurgeon. When we tell the story of our own conversion, I would have it done with great sorrow, remembering what we used to be, and with great joy and gratitude, remembering how little we deserve these things. It's a pretty profound and wonderful statement there. My last scripture here. I feel like this scripture right here is kind of one of these scriptures that it embodies me. I feel like in a lot of ways, probably not all the spiritual ways, but a lot of the temporal ways and mistakes and all that, I'm not too much different than Paul or Peter. These men who had a heart to do the right thing but sometimes struggled, or who made a ton of mistakes before they were converted. But you know, he's telling Timothy and he's reminding Timothy. He's remembering and he's sharing it. I want you to remember what the Lord has done. I thank Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting into the ministry. And this is the scripture, the verse that I think of often. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? I think about myself, you know, who was a liar and a thief and a fornicator, self-absorbed and arrogant. But I obtained mercy because, well, I didn't do it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul says, as you know, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's all I have for tonight. All I wanted to do tonight was to encourage preparation this week. You know, we're coming this weekend, and I tell you guys, I'm excited to talk about joy. I know it's different. I've got a lot I want to say about what God's done for me. And I want to hear what you have to say. Because it helps me and it strengthens me and it helps to weave in all of these individual people that might be different, different places, different experiences, but it comes together. Common story of a God who loves us, who cares for us, who wants to do things to better us, to bless us. So I hope that this week, You know, again, I'm going to sit here and just laud all over Jared. I love what he said. Reunion's already started. We're going to have just 2 days, and then we're going to come together again. And what are we going to do in those 2 days? He asked us that this morning. You know, what are we going to do? Hopefully, we spend some time considering our gathering together on Wednesday, your gathering together on Thursday with your family, Thanksgiving, to remember. Come on Friday and be ready to go to the house of the Lord with your brothers and sisters and remember those things that God has done for you. So I'd hope that you would just consider these things tonight. I hope you enjoyed some of these pictures and some of these things that I threw in there. It's good to look back and see all the changes of our local and all that, but I was touched and you see some of the same faces. But you know, even though some of the faces change and people go, I do see these commonalities, you know, people who were taught by the same people, who I'm sure were touched by the same testimonies from faithful members. You know, I didn't put any pictures in there, but you know, of my wife's grandmother, several pictures of her there. You know, even way back when she looked old. Same with Meredith. Some of my best memories were visiting with Meredith, though. And, you know, some of these things, it's important that we remember. So God bless you in this, and I look forward to this week and this next weekend and to spend time with each one of you and to praise the Lord and to remember all the good blessings He's given us. So thank you for your time and your attention tonight.